This is the week of September 4th, and the music of Andre Lewis at AndreLewis.com. Hi, I'm Marlena, and you're listening to the Marlena Program, heard weekly at this time on ACB Radio Mainstream. For the next 2 hours, give or take, we'll be taking your phone calls at 866-666-7926. Love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your ideas, your suggestions, your opinions, whatever. Why don't you come on in, get comfy, spend some time with me, and give me a call, huh? Right here on Marlena. Well, and a very happy Labor Day to you if you are listening from North America. And if you're not, well, happy day wherever you are. I hope it's been a good day. And we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. I'll tell you a bit about our guest in just a moment, as soon as I can get all these computers to stop talking to me. Good grief. I am Marlena. We will be with you for the next 2 hours. Of course, our second hour is open forum, and that's where you can call up and talk about anything you want to talk about and related to what's going on in the world of blindness or the world in general. And let's do a little bit of housekeeping. Of course, the phone number to call is 866-666-7926. Gary, the board guy, will have the lines open here in just a moment. If you are listening to this program at any time other than, sorry for a little squeaking noise going on here with the mic, but we're trying to reach things and shut them up. So if you're listening to this program at any time other than 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on a Sunday night in North America, or bright and early on a UTC Monday morning at 1, it's a repeat. And what we want you to do is just put your feet up and enjoy the program. And if you're listening live, get ready for a whale of a program, because I think we have a fascinating guest tonight. I've invited to be with us tonight someone who caught my attention on a Council Connections broadcast here on ACB Radio. As I was putting it up on the air, I heard someone by the name of Matthew Chow. And what Matthew was talking about was a Braille production facility. Now you say, okay, so what's so unusual about a Braille production facility? Let's bring Matthew in, and we're going to talk about why his facility may be a little unusual, or at least out of the ordinary. Hi there, Matthew. Welcome to Marlena.
Good to be here.
Now, do you want me to call you Matthew or Matt?
Matt. Only my mom calls me Matthew, and it's usually when I've been bad.
Oh, dear. Well, we'll just... Well, it's great to have you here, Matt, and thank you so much for giving us part of your Labor Day weekend in Massachusetts.
Sure.
So, tell me a little bit, first of all, about... you. Have you always lived in Massachusetts? Have you always been blind? Tell us a little bit about who is Matt Chow.
Well, let's see. I'm 52 years old. I was one of those many thousands of preemies born between the mid-40s to the mid-50s.
Yep.
And so it was called RLF. It's now called ROP.
Yep.
Change of the time, sign of the time.
I know. I like RLF better.
Well, that's what I remember.
So yeah,
that's
me
what
too.
Most of us remember.
Yeah.
So, basically what happened was I've been blind since birth, you know, with light perception, which really doesn't help much as far as travel. But, I was born out in Michigan, and I went to Michigan School for the Blind from kindergarten through the eighth grade, and then I moved to Massachusetts, where my mom got her PhD in English from Harvard. And I went to Perkins School for the Blind until 1973. And at that, what I did was I had 4 years of high school plus a postgrad year where I picked up piano tuning as another skill. Then I went to Brandeis University and graduated from there in 77, majored in history. And from there I went to Springfield College, got my master's and CAGS degree in rehab counseling education. And after that, I worked for Mass Rehab for 8 years. Then attended law school for a year, decided that wasn't for me, and then I worked for a small computer company for about 20 months. Got laid off, and this is where my current job came into being. I was out of work for 15 months, and I did a lot of networking, and out of that came, I heard about a job opening at in a prison, producing Braille books. I said, okay, well, I know Duxbury, I know computers, and I'm learning more all the time. I basically applied for the job. In the meantime, I'm also a competitive sailor. I was in the first World Blind Sailing Championships in New Zealand at the time.
Wow.
Got the job. While I was in New Zealand, I had to call home. Pretty expensive phone bill, by the way.
I guess so.
To verify that the job was still there and what I need to do to prepare. So, got, you know, everything got confirmed, went through the proper security and background checks, came back, and literally walked into the job. And I started actually on February 22nd of 1992, and I've been there ever since. And what I do is, I run a shop that produces Braille books out of a prison, using computer technology and inmate labor. And I've been doing that, as I say, since 1992. When I'm not doing that, as I'm a competitive sailor, just came off a regatta at the Blind Sailing Nationals in Newport, where my crew and I got third place out of five boats. And now, after all that, we're preparing for the World Blind Sailing Championships, which will be held in Newport, Rhode Island, from September 20th to the 27th.
Wow.
And I'm going to be one of the crews competing on behalf of the state of Massachusetts and the United States.
Well, you are certainly a diverse and busy person. Let's talk a little bit about your job. And I do want to talk about the sailing tonight too, because I think that, I mean, I've sailed and not in any sort of competition. Good grief, nobody would want me on their team with my skill, but I've sailed for pleasure and I really enjoy it. So I do want to talk about that tonight, but I also want to go back to your job. Now, I'm going to make the assumption that you don't work with, that the people you work with are not sort of the guys and gals who are in there for a slap on the hand. Is that true?
No, these guys, they're all guys. It's men's prison. They are all in for felonies, basically, which amounts to anything from robbery to rape to child molestation to murder, or even manslaughter. And basically, I have a crew of, right now, five people. Most of them are either, well, all of them are either doing long numbers, that is, many years in jail, in prison, or they are doing what we call life bid, meaning they're in for life because they killed somebody. And so these guys are you know, they were specially picked for the program based on the fact that they behave themselves, that they're not going to be disruptive, that they're not going to cause trouble, that they know that they have a job to do, that it's a privilege to work in my facility. Because frankly, I don't have time to babysit. I have a job that has to get done. Their production deadlines have to be met. We have to get product out to. What we do is we primarily provide Braille books to school kids in Massachusetts under Chapter 766, which is a special ed state special ed law, and we do that through the Bureau of Institutional Schools / Vision Resource Library. And what happens is they send us the books, we scan them or type them in. We send them through Microsoft Word and then Duxbury Braille Translator, and then we braille them, bind them up into the appropriate volumes, and ship them. We recently, by that recently I mean within a year, have acquired a network. So now all our systems are state-of-the-art. They're Dell. We have a Dell server with seven Dell GX280 workstations. In fact, I actually have a workstation similar to what we have at work in my house. So I know it's really good equipment. And each system has a gigabyte of RAM and 160 gigabyte hard drive. And we have Office installed, Microsoft Office 2003 installed on each system. All the data are saved on the server. Each worker has a folder that he goes to. And then we have Duxbury Braille Translator version 10.5, soon to be 10.6, which is networked off the server. So we have a pretty sophisticated setup there. We have two Juliet Pro Braille embosses, which are interpoints, and then we have two older VersePoint 40s, which are for which we would primarily use for kids' books. Anything up through second grade, you have to do single sided, and it's easier to put the VP40s to work doing that than it is to scale back a Juliet Pro to do the same job.
Yeah, for sure. Having a Juliet here next to me, I know it can be done, but it is easier. I, in fact, have an older embosser for the same reason, and I'm not even running a program. So, tell me something. Now, do these guys have to learn to use Duxbury?
No. Well, they have to learn to use Duxbury, and they have to know what the formatting looks like, but they don't necessarily need to learn Braille.
Are they ever interested in, do they ever ask you about Braille?
Occasionally they do, but for the most part they don't, because it's a different kind of work environment in a prison. It's not like they're, you know, dedicated employees. I mean, the pay structure is different, you know, the benefits that they derive from working are a little bit different from what you or I would expect.
What are the benefits
they earn money to basically buy what's called canteen items, which are things like potato chips and that sort of thing, shampoo and that sort of thing, from this canteen corporation that comes in once a week. And what you do, what the inmate does is they submit an order of things that they want, up to $50 per order. And then what they do is they, on every Friday, the canteen truck comes in. It delivers all the bags of goodies that the inmates want that they've ordered. They go out. They have canteen call. They go to this one place, pick up their bag of goodies, and then they bring it back to the room, and then they come back to work. So they have some economic choice there in that they can afford things that people who don't work can't, unless mommy or daddy or their wives or friends send money into them.
What, were you frightened when you first started this job?
I was a little apprehensive, yeah. There are stereotypes about prison, just as there are stereotypes about blindness and other disabilities. And the first stereotype you have is that you go into prison getting an attack. Well, in some prisons that happens, but this is this is a medium security facility, which means that it has has fencing around the perimeter. The inside, you're able to wander around and, you know, you can walk around. It's almost like a college campus to some extent, in that it's open and there's wide open spaces of lawn and that sort of thing. But on the other hand, it's highly regimented. Things happen every day at the same time, every time. For example, at 11:15, we closed down our facility for what's called count time. And at 11:30, what happens is there's a count. There's an actual count of inmates. And people call the officers inside guards, but they're actually called correctional officers, make the rounds of the facility, and all the inmates have to be in their room, in their cells, and they are counted to make sure that we aren't missing anybody. And then you have lunch or chow, you know, which is the midday meal, and the inmates go to the dining area by tier. For example, main one, main two, main three, which is basically, you know, the main housing units. And then there's what's called what you call the modular building, which has two floors, Mod 1 and Mod 2, and they'll mix up the order of people going to their meal. After that, meantime, the prison yard is closed. It's basically the interior of the prison compound. And the guys go eat, and then at around 1 o'clock, we open up again, and we close up at about 3:15, 3:30, so that I can get my transportation to go home. So that's pretty much how the routine works. You know, we have an occasional drill or emergency that comes up, but by and large, that's how the schedule runs. We're open Monday through Friday, 6 hours a day in terms of actual work.
Let me just let folks know that Gary the Board Guy has opened the line, so the number to call is 866-666-7926. This is fascinating to me, Matthew. I have actually been, I spent a good part of my life actually in Massachusetts, and I have actually been to Walpole and to Billerica. State institutions and
Billerica is a house of correction. That's a county house.
Yeah.
Walpole is actually now called Cedar Junction. That's a state prison. In prison lingo, they call it the big house. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a complimentary thing.
Yeah.
You go to the big house, you did something bad.
Yeah.
It's big and bad.
Yeah.
That's where you're going.
And we have a call. We're going to ask the caller to hang on just 1 second here. But
sure.
I remember when I went into Walpole, I actually met this guy whom I'll never forget. I mean, I was very nervous, you know, I was kind of in my 20s and I was going to go there with some other people and we were going to sing, you know, and I thought, gosh, you know, what are we going to do this for in a prison? Oh dear. But we had our guide dogs with us and this man came up to me and I still remember his name and he told me that he was in for bank robbery and 3 counts of murder and he would never come out. And he stood in front of the dog and just sobbed and said, I love dogs and I haven't seen a dog in 10 years. So, that's my first experience with prison. Let me bring our caller in if they are still here. Hello, caller. You're with Matt and Marlena. Who's this?
My name is George Wurzel, and old friends of Matthew Chow's.
Oh, George.
How are you?
Oh, good. How are you doing? You still doing woodworking, right?
Still doing woodworking.
Yeah.
And
okay.
And a couple years ago, myself and a car had an encounter. Got hit by a car, and having some real serious back troubles and knee problems and that kind of stuff from that. So I've backed off my woodworking a little bit, and I'm running Camp Tush Mahita, which is the camp that the School for the Blind started back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, I saw that up on the listserv a couple of times.
Yeah.
And
I may be jumping the gun or changing the subject for a minute, but I would like to get you involved in a sailing project that we're working on for next year.
Uh-huh.
We want to rent a big multi-masted schooner somewhere and crew it with mostly blind people and sail it somewhere
through
our camp.
Yeah, you know, that's beyond my area of expertise, to be honest. Cause, well, you know, it's a major logistical undertaking.
Yeah.
There are some liability issues involved, too, because you're going to have to approach whomever you want to charter this boat from, and they're going to have lots of questions. And it's not going to be a simple task, because, as you know, there are a lot of people out there who think that we can do very little.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, you got to do the Mythbusters thing.
Yep.
I've been
bouncing it off Eric Weinmeier. I haven't got a commitment from him by any stretch of the imagination, but he thinks it's a great idea, so that might help a little.
He's a mountain climber, I'm a sailor, but the thing is that the trick is you got to meet the right person who's willing to pull the proper strings to make it happen.
Yep.
And then you really got to get the people who want to sail. You have to get them comfortable moving around on a surface that's heaving and rolling all the time and not feel uncomfortable about it. I mean, I do it just as nature of my racing. Yeah. And I'm often up on deck, on a 22-foot boat that's rolling in about 3 to 5 foot seas.
Oh my.
And I'm doing jib trim or whatever I have to do. Or else I'm sitting up on the rail, aft steering. And you have to feel at home there.
I've spent a lot of time on a sailboat. I understand.
But there are a lot of people who haven't.
And oh, I know.
If you're trying to get some people to do it, they're going to have, you know,
There are several of these boats around that sail down, in the Bahamas down there where they take, you know, they keep a skeleton crew of their own people on board.
Yeah.
And they do it as a course of business.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, I've actually gone on some cruises. I actually went on a cruise last year with some other blind sailors from our group who are competitive sailors. Plus, we had 4 blind people and 4 sighted folks, and we all knew each other. We all chartered a boat and went sailing for a week down in the British Virgin Isles. So it was pretty good. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you want, where everybody knows each other and they can do the job.
Yep.
It's a little bit more intimidating, more overwhelming if a crew is, you know, basically hit with a whole bunch of blind folks and they don't know what to do. Or you'd basically want a one-to-one deal where you have, you know, one blind and one sighted person so that it's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
That tends to work pretty well. And in fact, getting ready to go on another cruise, first week in March, probably, and we have the same format set up.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be down in BVI for about a week, and then we come home.
I was planning on coming out to the world this fall out there, coming out and watching your race.
Well, come on out.
I'm going to.
It's in Newport. I don't know if there are any more rooms left at Best Western, but that's where all the crews are staying. It's going to be, the first 2 days are probably going to be practice because we're going to be sailing different boats that everybody gets to sail, has a practice session on the boats we're going to be using. The boats that we're going to be using in the regatta, in the World Blind Sailing Championships are going to be sonars and J-22s, and they are what are called one design boats, which means that all the boats in that particular class are built to the same spec, all the sail plans are the same, you know, everything is the same. They're identical boats.
Yeah.
We have 3 divisions of blind sailors, B1, 2, and 3. The guys who are B1s are totally blind, and the ones who are B2s and 3s have some vision up to 20 over 200 in the B3 class.
Uh-huh.
So that's how that whole thing's going to shake out.
Well, George, if you do pull this off, I'd love to know about it and maybe have you come on the show and talk about it next year.
Okay. And it's funny, I just tuned in tonight. I've been going to call you, Marlene, and set up some time to talk to you about what we did all summer with the camp. We ran about 170 or 80 kids through our camp this summer.
Oh,
great.
I'd love to have you on. And, you know, drop me an email. It's just marlena@acbradio.org.
Okay.
And it's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, just like it sounds.
Okay.
And I had Eric Weinmeier on my show way back when I used to do an almost live show on Blind Spot.
Okay.
And so I've actually been looking for his email address to see if he'd be interested in doing another one. So
you
it's
just
funny.
Go to the top of the world.
Yeah.
I think it's topoftheworld.org.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably
well, you know, George, what you might want to do is see what's available on the Great Lakes.
That's, you know, actually there's a really nice double-masted schooner that sails out of just north of Traverse City. It's a working ship.
Oh, nice.
They go out and do water samples and ecological stuff, and, you know, we're looking at that as well.
Because they're nonprofit, and you probably have a better shot and a quicker shot.
Yeah. Well,
I think
that may be what we'll do for the first time around. I mean,
yeah, and then once you know, you have to start a little
you can take 12 people on that boat.
There you go, 6 to 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me know what happens, George. Drop me a note, and thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, guys. And great talking to you, Matthew.
Hey, George. By the way, you can email me. You know, I'm up on the list.
Okay.
If you can remember, my email address is mattchow@earthlink.net.
Okay. And mine is Strider, S-T-R-I-D-E-R, at campt.org.
Oh, that's easy.
Yep.
Great.
All right. Call me again, George.
Hope we didn't hijack your show talking about sailing.
No, not even in the least, because we're going to move to sailing in just a bit. We're going to sail on to sailing.
If you're ever looking for a challenge, try the Trans-Superior Race. I've sailed that one before.
Well, I'd like to do the Mackinac Race.
Oh, yeah. Chicago Mac or Port Huron to Mac?
Port Huron.
Port Huron to Mac, yeah.
Either one of those I want to do.
Yeah.
And
right.
I'm also looking to try to do some year to do Transpac, which is San Fran to Hawaii.
Ah.
Oh my gosh.
But you got to be invited on there, and it's hard to get a cruise slot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Although they have had a boat with folks with different disabilities doing Transpac.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Yep. Bye. Sure.
Bye. Bye. 866-666-7926 is our number. We'll be with Matt for another half hour or so, give or take. I want to ask you another question. We're going to answer the phone. How's that? We'll just let these callers come on in because they're kind enough to listen, so we want to talk to them. Hi there. You're with Matt and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Frank Casey from Albany, New York.
Hey, Frank Casey, you need to talk up just a little louder, sir.
Ho, ho, how's that?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's better.
That's
okay.
Better. Woohoo. What's up,
Matt,
Frank?
Nice job and all that. What I'm curious to know is how have you, as a blind person, been accepted by the prison community?
Not a problem.
Okay.
Not a problem because of my background. You know, I have a background in rehab counseling.
Right.
So I know how to work for the most part with folks in the prison. The second thing is how you present and how you adapt and overcome. Basically, you know, you have to work within the restrictions that the prison has in terms of, well, here are the things you can and can't bring into the joint. You have to feel comfortable in your surroundings. You have to have your head on a swivel. That is to say, you have to be aware of what's going on around you at all times. Good situational awareness is key. You know, it's sort of like, in some ways, it's sort of like dealing with, if you're afraid of, if you have phobias, like if you're afraid of dogs. Dogs know when you're afraid, and they're going to come right up to you and pester you and scare you even more. Whereas if you, or another analogy is if you're walking through a bad neighborhood, people sense that you're a little worried. Whereas
right.
if you walk through and you're stepping, they're going to leave you alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's the stance you have to take in an environment like that. And you basically have to be. It takes a certain amount of maturity to do this kind of work because there are lots of chances for you to get set up, both by staff, whether you know on purpose or accidentally, and especially by inmates.
Okay.
And the thing is, you have to know the prison. Basically, when you're working inside an environment like that, things are not gray; they're black and white. Either you can do it or you can't do it.
Right.
If you start making it a little gray, then they're going to start testing. If they're going to start testing, now you've got problems. So you keep it simple.
Right.
Because if you don't keep it simple, they're going to try to walk all over you.
Oh, yeah. I know it's when I was a radio dispatcher for the first 2 months I was on, I was employed. Our radio room was in the Albany County Jail. And
yep.
I know it was, you know, we couldn't bring glass bottles in. We had to bring, you know, just, you know, containers of soda and stuff like that.
You know, metal spoons and forks, don't bring
yep.
in knives, don't bring in, you know, ad infinitum. You know, you have to, oh, by the way, and don't wear a real tie.
Oh, no,
never,
that is for sure. That's the one thing I learned.
You wear a clip-on,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Yeah, you know,
trying to grab your tie and choke you.
Oh, that's yeah. it, they hang you. There you go.
Yep. But, yeah, I was always kidding with everybody because I said, she's my office has got bars on it because that's what our radio room had. It had bars. Everything had bars on it. So
it's like being in inner control. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So I mean,
I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job, and thanks for your insight.
Well, you know, every little bit helps. If you can overcome the 70% unemployment rate, hey, all
yep.
the better.
Yep.
Congratulations.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, Mr. Casey. Well, you have a good Labor Day, kind sir.
Thank you. You too.
And tell that lovely Kathy I said hello.
I sure will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Here's a question I have for you. Has working with your program changed any of your inmates that you know of?
Hard to say. You know, they always, I call it the BMC Club, the Bitch, Moan, and Complain Club. they always have something to complain about.
That sounds like my house.
So what happens is, you know, the typical drill might run something like, okay, guys, what's the beef of the day? What's going on today? Because I try to keep tabs on what's going on inside the joint. What's making people happy? What's not making them happy? What policies are coming down that they're worried about? Because it's important to know about what we call climate. And by climate, I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about how is it inside? Are people tense? Are they relaxed? You know, are they upset about something? And those things you have to be really aware of. For example, one of the worst times to be working in a prison is around the holiday.
Oh,
because
obviously,
a lot of people aren't able to go home.
Yeah.
And a lot of their family aren't able to come to them. So, of course, things can get real tense. And you just, like, work through it. You know, you just have to be extra vigilant. You have to be almost hyper-vigilant to see what's, you know, just to, you know, monitor what's going on, and you just have to have your head more on a swivel than you would during the rest of the year.
Well, we have another caller. Let's bring them in. Hi there. You're with Matt and Marlena. Who's this?
Good evening. It's Shane Davidson. How are you?
Hey, Shane.
Good.
Fine. How are you?
Not bad. Let me just turn this delay down in my other ear, or I'm going to go nuts. Let's see here. There we go. Turn the delay down, or I'm going to go nuts. Anyways, it's a pleasure to actually be here, and good evening, Matt.
Good evening.
One question, I might have missed this earlier because I was actually down. I've actually been running around as I've been listening. Where did the funding for all the equipment come from?
Basically,
the printers, the paper, the computers.
Our funding comes from actually Department of Corrections. We actually got a grant to do this to do our upgrades. I actually work for the Department of Corrections. As a full-time state employee, but within that department, I work for the Division of Inmate Training and Education. What we do is, because we provide educational materials, that's how I got placed in the Division of Inmate Training and Education.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of an arrangement with, we have an arrangement with, Mass Correctional Industries, and Education. It's called TI, Training Industries and Education. And what happens is that I'm on the education payroll, but my inmates are paid under Mass Correctional Industries.
Yeah.
So that's how we have that combined program. So we're sort of a hybrid. And what happens is that when I need supplies, I go through my division to get them. When the guys need to be paid, it's industry. And they,
okay.
Just to give you some perspective as to how the pay scale works, is that there's three pay grades. There's A, B, and C rates. The A rates get $1 an hour. B rates get 50, and starting guys get 25. Now,
that's
before excuse me?
That's 25 cents.
Okay.
An hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
The thing is, the idea isn't that they make money. The idea is that they're paying back the community. They're doing a
right.
service
mm-hmm.
to the community. The objective is not to make money. The objective
right.
is twofold, basically. One is to do something for the community service. And the second thing is that you have a set number of inmates whom you know to be in a certain place at a certain time for a specific period of time.
Yeah.
And by doing that, you basically exercise control in the facility because XYZ inmates are here. They're not wandering around somewhere where they might cause trouble.
Yeah. Here's an odd
they're in
question.
My shop where they
yeah,
won't
exactly.
cause trouble.
Exactly. Ever had a problem
if they do, I don't want them there.
Yeah, they got the problem, they got the big problem. Have you ever had the problem where you've had a mate and they have caused trouble?
Yeah, that's happened a couple of times, but it doesn't happen too often.
Yeah.
And the reason it doesn't happen too often because I don't let it happen.
Yeah.
So you really have to be absolutely in control.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're in control. You try to be in control as much as you can sometimes, and then it will be disruptive, and you just have him pulled. That's all. You basically, in fact, that happened to me a couple of months ago. I had this guy, well, there's a policy within the prison system where if you take a job, you can't just walk up, get up, walk off, and quit. Well, this guy thought he could. He knew the policy. He knew what it was all about. He knew he couldn't quit, but he thought he'd try it anyway.
Bad idea.
Excuse me? I said, I don't think it's going to work. He said, well, I'm quit. I said, go ahead, and I'll have a security officer come down and haul your tail back to your cell. And he said, well, I'm going to quit. I said, okay, fine. So I called security, and I had one of the officers come down, and I said, this guy is being disruptive. He wants to quit against institutional policy. Please escort this gentleman back to his cell. And sure enough, that guy got taken back to his cell.
Yeah. All right.
That's the way things got to be.
All right,
that's
Shane. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you do have the great work, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. I do have a couple of additional questions I want to ask you about working there, but I want to move on to sailing, and folks can call and ask about either topic. That's fine. But how did you get started with sailing?
Well, I got started in sailing when I was at Perkins. During my junior year, they had this experimental program where they were having a few folks go over to community boating, which is a public sailing center in Boston. It's right on the Charles. It's near MGH and Mass General Hospital. And they had a couple of us come down for two seasons, a couple of times during my junior year and a few times during my senior year in high school. And yeah, I had a really good time. It was a lot of fun, and really thought nothing of it for another, 6 or 7 years, because I was busy going to college and grad school. And then in 1980, the Carroll Center for the Blind, which is in Newton, started this sailing program through what they called the Outdoor Enrichment Program. And I said, sailing, deep, dark past. Yeah, well, I sort of liked it back then. It's like that the ads for cornflakes. Try them again for the first time.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'll give it a whirl and see what it's all about. And got back into sailing, and I've been sailing ever since. And in fact, today I'm sitting down just thinking about apropos of nothing. I said, I'm thinking over my sailing career, and it's like I've been sailing for half my life.
Wow.
So that was a real mind bender.
That's phenomenal. We have a call. Let's bring them on in. Hi there. You're with Matt and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Matt and Marlena. This is Marcia
from Michigan. Yeah, we've got Matt, Marlena, and Marcia from Michigan.
That's right.
The M's here. Hey, 3 M's, but we don't have any money, do we?
No. Especially if we work in the prison, we don't have any money. No.
Right. Anyway, Matt, I don't know if you remember me. My name was Wigginton. We went to MSB.
Oh,
and
yeah. Remember I threw your ticket out the bus window.
Yeah, you did. He did. He threw your bus ticket out the window.
Shame on you.
I got spanked, but good. Yeah, we got into a little tough.
We always had a good time riding home on the bus together from Lansing to
all right, wait. I want to know, Matt, why did you throw Marsha's ticket out the window?
Because I was bigger, stronger, and faster, and I tore off more of the ticket than she had, and I threw it out the window.
Yes, he did. And I think I cried, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I didn't care.
No, you didn't. But he was younger than me, too.
Well.
And I got into a lot of trouble.
I think
my mom had to pay for your part of the ticket.
Yeah, but I remember, though, basically you were a pretty laid-back guy.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, except that he threw girls' tickets out the window.
And I didn't like gym class. I didn't like, and I certainly didn't like to study.
Right.
But that changed over
a
couple
of years. Oh, I know. After you left MSD, apparently you've done so well, and congratulations to you.
Well, thanks.
And, well, I've never been sailing. I've been on boats, but I've never sailed, and I'd love to do that.
So, Matt, that's a good question. If somebody like Marcia would love to sail, how do they start if they're blind? What do they do?
Well, it's a little tough because there aren't a lot of organized sailing programs for people who are blind in the country.
How did
we're
you get started,
few...
by the way?
Excuse me?
How did you get started?
Oh, I just I got started through Perkins School for the Blind. They had a couple of an experimental program in conjunction with Community Boating Incorporated, which is a public sailing center in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And you must just joined us as I was about to after I explained it, and then did that for a couple of seasons, and then didn't do it for about 8 years. Found out about the Carroll Center for the Blind in Newton having a sailing program. Got into it, and I've been sailing ever since. I've been sailing since 1980 straight.
Now, do you own your own boat?
No.
No?
I don't.
So you sail?
We sail club boats, community, you know, like...
oh, I see, okay.
For example, Sail Newport is a public sailing center, and they have 12 J-22 class boats, which I sail, and, you know, I either get a sighted... an instructor that I hire out for 3 hours, or I get some friends of mine to go sailing with me.
Uh-huh.
And what happens there is, you know, I get the benefit of sailing without the hassle of owning a boat.
Well, that's the best way to do it, I guess.
Absolutely.
And so you I know you've been in New Zealand. Well, Steve Polo, a friend of ours.
Oh yeah, Steve.
Yeah. Well, he's sort of kept up, you know, kept up with us as far as what you've been doing.
Yeah.
And hopefully you're still on the, we have a Michigan School for the Blind alumni list.
I know about the MSB list. I'm on it. I get stuff from you guys. I'm one of those lurkers. I just sort of like.
Oh, I know. You work your tail off.
Well, that's because he's looking for more tickets to throw out the window.
That's right.
You know,
he
I can see it now.
He wants to throw my bus ticket out the window.
Yeah.
Huh. That's it.
But anyway, another question before I hang up, and I'll let
sure.
you guys go. But have you ever felt physically threatened? Have you ever been in fear of your life?
Personal safety, yes. Life, no. Yeah, I've actually had somebody threaten me in the prison. And when I realized what he had done, this is my first year working there. When I realized what he had done, I actually phoned in the report. I told the officer what happened, you know, just over the weekend.
Can you tell us what happened? Can you share that?
He basically said something to the order of, I'm allowing you to be here. I don't have to allow you to be here. And what that means is, you know, if I want to make it hot for you, I could.
Wow.
Well, you know, initially when you hear that, you sort of take it with a grain of salt. It's like, yeah, yeah. But then you really think about it and realize what he really was saying.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, crap. Now,
yeah.
Houston, yep. We have a problem.
Yeah.
And what it means is he made a threat.
Yeah.
Well, you don't let that go, because if you do, it could actually be happen for real. So what you do is you report that to the proper people, and then what you do is you sit back and let them take care of it. Well, the way they took care of it was we have a term called lugged, which means he was pulled out of the institution and moved somewhere else.
Wow.
Never to come back in the institution again.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's serious consequences for threatening a staff member. You don't do it.
Yeah.
I'll bet. Well, now, are you there in the shop by yourself with
I have direct inmate contact, yeah.
Okay,
and,
so,
you know,
so you don't have
is,
any guards or anyone in
no
the
officer, no.
With you?
No.
No.
No. No.
You're
but
a
these guys,
guy.
These guys are supposed to behave. They were
well,
picked.
but I can imagine that it has to be that way because
right.
if
yeah,
it's
that's
not,
true. Otherwise they wouldn't
then,
be able to build up any sort of trust.
Well, that's right. Then he's just you know the
yep.
blind guy they hired, and the guards are there to make sure we don't hurt him. And I can imagine that it would have to be that.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like any other job, except except the only thing is that you know, it's very important. Face is everything in there in terms of how you present yourself. If you're going to be this meek, weak, wimpy kind of person as a staff, you're not going to last long. On the other hand, you don't want to be a real hard-boiled person because then it's unpleasant. So what I do is my philosophy is firm but fair. All right, well, yeah, okay. No, you can't do this, but yes, we can look at this. But if you're going to play games and if you're going to be disruptive and you're not going to follow the plan, then I don't have use for you. Go back to your cell.
Yeah.
I go home at night. You don't. I don't have to worry about it. You should.
But you still have to sort of talk the talk and walk the walk, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Marcia, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're very welcome. And Matt, is really good talking with you.
Hey, good talk with you.
And hopefully we'll be on the list.
Take
care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We'll be with Matt for another 10 minutes, give or take, as long as he can.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah?
Before we go, I have a story that might be of interest to you guys.
Okay.
A while back, I mentioned how people try to test the system.
Right.
In the prison. Well, I actually had an inmate do this once. And it goes something like this. One day, the tier officer called up and said that this particular person was sick. And the guy's name was Rodney. I obviously can't give you last name,
right.
but this happened a couple of years ago. And so I said, yeah, okay, fine. So this guy wasn't coming to work. Well, all right. Well, not a problem. Not a problem until 3:30. Well, 3:30 I was leaving to go home. And as I walked out the main door through the yard to the gate to go home, there was a football game in progress over to my right. There's a football field as you walk out of the entrance. And I hear this guy giving direction to his teammates. Well, this particular guy happened to, I thought, well, sounds like the person who called in sick. Whose floor officer said he was sick. So I go up to the gate, and I say to the officer, the gate officer, I said, can you do a visual ID? Is that Rodney in that lineup over in the football field over there? And he said, yes, it is. So I said, you little blankety blank, to myself. And I turned, I said, hey, Rodney. He said, what? He says, I was sick. I said, yeah. You were so sick that you couldn't come to work, but not so sick you couldn't play football, huh? He said, I had a pass. I said, you're in trouble. I said, you're in a lot of trouble. You lied to me. He said, blank you. I said, that's a D report. That's a disciplinary ticket. Then he said, I quit. I said, that's another ticket. Now you're really in trouble. I'll see you in the morning. I'm going home. So the next day, the guy sits there. He's not doing his work. I have him come out in the hall, and I talk to him. He said, well, you know, I don't think it was nice of you to pull me out in front of all those other guys. I said, hey, I didn't do it to Rodney. Rodney did it to himself. I said, first of all, he lied to me. Because if you were really sick, you wouldn't be playing football either. And I don't like liars very much. I said, and then he says, well, then he knew he was corn, so he says, well, I think you're prejudiced against me because I'm black. I said, you know what? I'm blind and I'm Asian. I've had more prejudice than you'd ever possibly dream of.
Oh my gosh.
The hell back to work.
Oh my gosh. So
eventually security came and pulled him away because all he did was sit at his desk all morning.
Wow.
But, I mean, those are the kinds of things that happen in a prison. And he thought that, well, if I can't see him, I can't know he's there. Except he forgot one thing. I heard him.
Wow. Do you think that the guys respect you? I mean, not just because you're who they work for, and they'd better at least act like they respect you. But I mean, respect you.
Yeah, I think so. In their own way. I mean, you know, they're always going to bitch, moan, and complain.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of who I am and what I do, I try to be pretty consistent about how I, you know, do assignments and allocate work and deal with disciplinary problems when they do come up. Fortunately, it's not that often. But when it does, you got to be prepared to deal with it, and you have to be prepared to deal with it decisively. You have to be very decisive about how you do things, and you have to try to be fair, you know, as much as you can. I mean, we're human. We do make mistakes. But, you know, there's certain things you got to do that you otherwise wouldn't do in a normal work environment.
Have you ever gotten to really like one of the guys?
No. You don't really like them, nor do you trust them. They are inmates. They're in for some nasty things. They have gone beyond the social code. That's why they're there. They're tried by a jury of their peers, hence they're being sent to prison. You do not trust them. You are respectful to them, but you do not trust them, nor do you give them any personal data like where you live. To some extent, what you might do in your personal life, but you limit that information. You don't tell them where you live. You certainly don't give out your phone number. And, you know, there's certain things that are extremely private, more so than in any other workplace.
I want to ask you another sailing question, and then I do have kind of a final work-related question that I'm
sure
saving till the end, because I would be interested. Well, I'm interested in all your answers, but I'm particularly interested in this particular question. In terms of sailing, what can you kind of take us to a trip where you were absolutely kind of in command of the situation? You seem like a very strong person who really can assess, uh-oh, we got an issue going on here, and this is what we need to do to fix it. Is that ever?
Well, basically, most of my sailing is competitive by nature. It's not cruising, or it's not, you know, but when I say I'm a skipper, yeah, I'm actually the helmsman. I drive the boat.
Well, how do you know? Do you use equipment? Do you use adaptive equipment?
No.
So how do you do that?
In racing, what we do is, in blind sailing, from a competitive perspective, each crew consists of two blind sailors and two sighted guides. And one blind sailor is a trimmer, trims the sails. The other blind sailor drives, or is the helmsman. My specialty is helming. So I drive the boat. I have to be aware of boat feel, boat speed. You know, I have to have a fair idea about sail trim. The sighted guides deal with keeping us out of trouble with respect to other boats competing against us, and in terms of race tactics and strategy. So what I do is, basically, besides driving, I have to be very aware of what's going on. You have to have good situational awareness in terms of other boats on the race course. You have to be in tune with what your sighted crew is telling you in terms of information. So what I do is I have to be prepared to do a number of things at any time during a race. Everything from what's called ducking a boat, which means is you go behind them. If you're on a different tack, it's more complicated. It's pretty complicated stuff. Or I have to be prepared to tack, which means you bring the bow of the boat through the breeze, either to round a mark or to avoid another boat. And when I talk about boat clearances, about being close to other boats, I'm talking about not just 30, 40 feet. I'm talking about maybe 10 feet or less.
Wow.
At speed, in a race, with other boats in the area, other crews doing the same thing, trying to make the boat go fast. So it requires a lot of ability to multitask, selectively tune in and out things that you feel and you listen to, and being able to sort out the commands that you get from your crew versus what everybody else is saying when there's a lot of yelling at the mark.
Is there a website that people can visit to learn more about where blind sailing experiences exist?
There is actually a website called blindsailing.org, and then there's one called sailingblind.org.nz, which is New Zealand. And, of course, you could go to the, www.carroll.org, carroll.org. The organization that basically puts the regattas under which we compete in terms of the World Blind Sailing Championships is called Blind Sailing International. And we would have had BSI.org, except somebody else already has that domain name. So that doesn't work.
Yeah, that would be.
And you can also do a Google search of blind sailing.
Let me ask you my final question, going back to your work in the prison. And that question is, how has it changed you to work there all these years?
Well, interesting you ask that question, because you can't work in an environment like that and say it doesn't change you, because it does. It actually makes you a tougher, harder individual. And that's not necessarily a good thing. There is a certain amount of stress associated with working in a prison. It's ongoing. It's sort of like a low-grade headache. You know, you're aware of it, but you don't let it overwhelm you, because if you did, you couldn't do your job. If you thought of all the things that go wrong in a prison work environment, you couldn't do the job. It's changed me to that extent. I'm more, I tend to be a little bit more hard-nosed about things, hard-line about things. On the flip side, though, I know there are a lot of people who could not do what I do because of, you have a lot of contradictory things that are going on in the prison that are totally different from what you experience out on the street. And you have to be able to adjust to those changes. I mean, my philosophy is leave work at work and home at home. When you go through the pedestrian trap into the prison and you hear those doors slam shut behind you, you have a better sense of what freedom's all about. You really do. Talk about a disincentive for getting involved in crime. That does it right there.
Yeah, I can well imagine.
That's all it takes.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think you'd like to do next? If somebody said, okay, Matthew, you've done this for close to 14 years now, if I recall correctly. And,
yep.
What would you like to do?
Well, I'd like to continue sailing, either competitively, both competitively and recreationally. I'd like to ramp up the competitive aspects of it, because my goal is to sail more in against sighted competitors, because I believe I'm, with the proper crew mix, I'm perfectly capable of doing that. And in fact, I have been in some races where I have actually beaten sighted sailors on a level playing field. In fact, I was in a charity regatta last year in which I knew there were some good sailors in there. And in the J-22 class, my crew and I actually won.
Wow!
By about 2 minutes.
Wow.
over a 4-hour race course.
Well, anytime you want to come on this program, Matt, and talk about sailing or anything else, you are more than welcome to come back and join us. You've been a fascinating, fascinating guest, and I appreciate your spending Labor Day Eve, I guess this is, with us.
Well, I think it's important that folks out there get an idea as to the diversity of things that blind folks are doing. And I think it's also really important just to, let people know that, you don't have to sit around at home and mope. A lot of how and what we do depends on a lot on who we are and what we do. You know, you can either do it, you know, it's like prison. You can do it, you can either do hard time or easy time.
Yep.
And the trick is, you know, it's important to take the time and take the and have the energy to get out there and do what you want to do.
Yep. So if you look at your blindness as a lemon, then figure out how to make lemonade.
There you go.
Thank you so much, Matthew. This has been just absolutely wonderful, and we'll go out with a sailing song. How's that?
Very good.
Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
I'm Marlena. I'll be back on the other side of Michael. Song we can all sing along to. I think no matter how old you are, you know about Michael, don't you? I think you do. Well, I'm Marlena. I'm not Michael. I'm not rowing a boat ashore. I'm going to be with you for the next 54 minutes, give or take, and I really need you to call in at 866-666-7926. Tell me what you're doing over Labor Day, what you got going on, if you're going back to school, what's going on with that, your preparations, whatever. Now, I would be remiss as a person who attempts to consider herself to be some form of a journalist anyway, if I didn't raise the hot topic of the week. The topic that has had my phone ringing, my email blinking, my Skype ringing, and I'll make you wait and guess what that topic is. Let's bring this caller in. Hi there, you with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello there. How are you today?
I'm good, Timothy. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
What's going on in Halifax?
Not much. I'm with my girlfriend for 3 weeks.
Oh, great. Great.
He's gone to B.C.
Ah, to B.C.?
British Columbia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Very good. So did you say you're without her or you're with?
She's gone away for 3 weeks.
Oh, well, I didn't mean great for that then. Goodness gracious, that's not so great. That's not. Now, you don't celebrate Labor Day up there in Canada, do you?
Actually, yes, we do.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, do you have picnics and things like that like we do?
Well, sometimes we do, yeah. We have a Labor Day sort of some kind of gala or something.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. I can't remember. I thought we had a parade or something like that. Sometimes we have fireworks, too. So.
Well, happy Labor Day to you.
Yeah, you too.
All right, and I'll see you soon.
Yuppie.
All right. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. So if I didn't mention the news item of the week, I would be remiss, and that is, of course, that as many, many, many folks know, and some have made comments on, the movement of Jonathan Mosen from Humanware to Freedom Scientific. Now, what my opinion is that, you know, people do what they feel that they need to do. I've had all kinds of people call me up and, oh my gosh, are you upset about this? Well, why should I be upset about this? I mean, you know, no one person is a company. And, so I wish Jonathan well. Hope that he's made the move that's best for him, and that's kind of where I stand with it. Let's see who's on the phone. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
This is Shirley.
Hello, Shirley. How are you?
How you doing?
Well, you know, I'm all right for an old lady. How are you?
Well, I'm sure glad I'm not one of those. Although we are pretty close to the same age, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody's as old as me except Gary the board guy, and he's older than me, so I like that part, yeah.
I don't know. My husband's older than we are, so.
Oh, good.
There must be at least one person.
Oh, good. Well, I like that, too. What's going on with you?
Well, let's see. Well, tomorrow is our 29th anniversary.
Wow.
So, you know, that's kind of a nice event.
September 4th, huh?
Yeah, we actually met on September 3rd.
And you got married the next day. Look at that.
No, the year before.
Oh, doggone.
About yesterday. That kind of a short engagement, huh? Yeah, right.
How did you meet each other?
We actually met at a singles group. It's still actually in existence. It was held at a Unitarian church, but it was a non-denominational type thing. So it really didn't matter, you know, what religion you were.
Yeah.
And we met there in Dayton, Ohio, which is where we live now. But the interesting part was, like, 3.5 weeks after we met, he moved to South Dakota.
Oh, gosh.
So that ended up being a rather interesting dating situation, to say the least.
I guess. That was, of course, before the Internet. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. So
oh, yes.
You had to write letters and make very expensive phone calls.
Right. And
send
tapes and
all
those fun things.
Wow.
So,
Well, your husband's a sweetie.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet of you.
Well,
I might even tell him you said that.
I know. Then he'd get a big head.
I had to turn off the volume while I'm on the phone. He didn't get to hear it.
Well, we don't want him to get a big head, you know.
No, definitely not. But your husband's a real nice guy, too.
Yeah, well, he can hear you, so now I'm in trouble.
Okay, well, I didn't say that then. As long as you didn't say it, that's okay.
There you go.
But, wow, what a bunch of topics this week. I'm really amazed at this guy that was just on. He's really, really a gutsy person. I don't think I could work in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
That would take somebody pretty special to do it. And I am a little surprised that, you know, that they don't have a security person in there with him. Whether he would, you know, be blind or not, you would think that almost in every area, you know, that they would have security around, and I'm surprised, not that I think it's not, you know, I think it's wonderful, but I'm surprised that they would be willing to take a chance and have a blind person in that situation, because, you know, it seems like he could get taken advantage of a little bit easier if some people wanted to pull something than obviously somebody that could see him.
Yeah, I was trying to do a good balance between letting him have a chance to talk about his passion, which is sailing.
Right.
And I mean, I had a lot of other questions I wanted to ask him about the prison, but I also know how it is to have a passion and really want to talk about that,
as opposed
to just kind of, you know, what you do all day. So,
but I
wondered if there were issues about that as well. And, you know, maybe he'll agree to come back on again and we can focus, you know, more on that. But,
and then, of course, the big topic of the week.
The big topic!
Goodness.
Oh, the big topic!
Talk about being totally shocked. I must tell you that I was. In fact, when somebody called me and said something to me about it, I told him it had to be a joke.
Yeah, somebody said, I would say this was an April Fool's joke, except that this is September.
Me too.
So, me too.
That was the way I felt.
Yeah.
And I must say I was kind of stunned. And I guess the reason why is that, you know, and I've seen a couple other people say this on the list, you know, when somebody works for a company. I mean, I realize people change companies all the time. And, of course, I've seen so much, you know, so many messages about this in the last couple of days. And the average person, you know, out there in the sighted world is going to work for one company and then work for another company and so on and so forth. But when you're in something, I guess it's because it's this small of a field, and when you're at two companies that are, you know, definitely in competition with each other.
In direct competition.
Right. And a number of people, you know, have heard him definitely give an opinion as to, obviously, when he worked for that company, that was definitely the equipment to have versus the other one. And, you know, he made that, you know, kind of made people feel that was the way he felt because that was what he supported. And how does somebody change, you know, their philosophy that quickly from being, you know, supportive of one thing to being supportive of the opposite? And obviously, if he's going to do that type of job for the company, he's got to believe in the equipment. You know, and that's what I've seen some people just a little bit upset about. And I also have seen some people who feel, especially the people that, you know, have Braille notes and stuff that are on the Braille note list, I think I've, you know, read that some of them have felt a little bit betrayed because he didn't put any kind of an announcement on there or anything letting people know that, you know, he was leaving and saying goodbye and all that. So some people were a little disappointed about that.
Well, I think, and I think that it is difficult when you create a following.
Right.
As some people say that I have, I believe Jonathan has. When you create a following and you're very, very public about your opinions.
Yeah.
It then becomes really difficult for your following to figure it out when suddenly, seemingly overnight, there is a complete, you know, 180.
Right.
And I think that's what people are, I don't think that the free world really cares where Jonathan works
but
I think people are trying to come to terms with how can this be? How do you interpret this? So, and I really thought very long all week about whether I would bring this topic up. And then I thought, you know, this has been the topic within our community worldwide, and to not discuss it in a positive way would be remiss. So,
but you know, people are saying, okay, well now, did he really believe in the Braille note and all those items, or does he really believe in the Cosmate and those items? And which one do we follow?
Yeah.
You know, which one does he really support?
Well,
I'm sure a lot of the reason too, and this is, you know, I mean, obviously none of us know this one way or the other, but you know, there was maybe this was a good financial move for him, and some people, you know, were upset about that, but obviously you know, a lot of people do change, you know, positions for that reason. And
well,
maybe he had an opportunity to get into something new or different that he wouldn't have otherwise. But it is hard, you know, it's a little different, like I said, than the average person switching jobs and going from one company to another because of the competitiveness, and because these are the two major, major companies,
yes,
as far as,
yes,
blindness equipment.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, so, thank you. I appreciate your feedback.
All right. Well, it's just been interesting because I've been reading, you know, just Buku messages, particularly,
yeah,
on one list that I'm on. And
yeah.
It's,
yeah,
been kind of fascinating.
It has tripled the email traffic, I'll tell you that,
oh,
at least,
boy,
in this house.
Very, very much so. I'm not sure I want to be him right that
Oh,
moment.
My goodness gracious. I don't know. It could be interesting. You never,
yeah,
know. All right. Well, thanks
All right,
a
take
lot.
It easy.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Shirley in Ohio. I keep moving her to Michigan, but I think she's in Ohio. 866-666-7926. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Oh, this is Abdul Kamara calling.
Abdul, how are you?
Very good, Marlena, and yourself?
I'm okay. Happy Labor Day.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. We're not quite there yet, but we're certainly enjoying the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got any updates for us on our favorite topic of 2686?
Wow. Well, boy, howdy, do we. it looks good. Our efforts are pressing on. As I'd indicated the previous time that I'd called, we have drafted a letter to Senator McCain's office indicating our support for the provisions within S-2686 that benefit all blind individuals of America. We have approached senators, particularly the senators of Georgia, in trying to court their support for the bill. We have not received, and I particularly, who have actually visited their offices, have not received entirely, firm answers as to whether or not they will support it. And in fact, most senators are kind of giving us somewhat non-committal answers as to whether or not they will support the bill. But right now, it looks a little bit favorable. We are making some progress, which is always a great thing. But that's where we're at. I guess we are at a quandary at this point, primarily because, many leaders within ACB and as well as the Washington office have been calling their respective senators, only to find out that a lot of our membership have not been calling. A lot of them have been saying, well, yes, we will call, and we'll definitely write a letter. But I've spoken personally to Senator Isaacson and have spoken with Senator Chambliss's office, have spoken with Senator Clinton's office, as well as Schumer's. And, very few of our membership have been calling to indicate their support for this bill. And so I say that, we as an entire organization cannot rely solely on our leadership and the Washington office to express our concerns or our support of certain issues. That if we wish to change the world around us to accommodate us, if we wish to have the rights that we enjoy, we all have to be involved in that process, in the process towards attaining those rights, and passing bills that in effect empower us. So that's what I'd like to say. It is a point of frustration because we want so much, but we need to learn to start doing. Now, I don't know if it's because we're just lazy, or if it's because we just don't know how, but I would much rather someone come to me and to the leadership of ACB and to the DC office and say, well, you know what, I want to communicate my support or communicate my concern of certain issues, to my federal representative, how do I go about doing that? But we need to get on the ball.
Well, I know that, you know, I ask people to let me know if they had contacted their senator, and I've heard from one person. And so both senators in Michigan have been contacted. If that,
very good.
If that's of some cheering up to you, because I know how frustrating it can be to try to do this work and then discover that people aren't sort of picking up getting onto the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, I'm reading on the leadership list that what people seem to be hearing from some senators is I'm in total support of the sections of the bill that relate to access for people who are blind, but the rest of the provisions of the bill and the net neutrality are too complex, and so I can't support this bill. Is there any thought about having another bill introduced that would take the language of those two sections and deal with it?
Well, as a matter of fact, there is a standalone bill for S-900, which actually specifically addresses the matter of descriptive video services.
But not VOIP, right?
Not necessarily VOIP. And I suppose in some respects we could be able to address voice over IP in a standalone bill. And actually, I'll scratch that and say that I am not aware of any existing bill that actually specifically addresses VOIP. Any standalone bill, but that actually specifically addresses that.
Yeah. See, I think that's critical, because I read somewhere, and if for no other reason, this is why I think it's critical to contact our senators, but I read somewhere where, by the end of 2007, over half of the call centers in North America will be VOIP.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's critical that we address extending accessibility to these very important infrastructures, these mechanisms through which information is disseminated and basically essential to how we communicate with one another. And so, if anything else, S-2686 does address that. I mean, it's the proverbial one stone, killing, two birds.
Yeah.
And the problem is simply this. Congress likes to focus its attention on hot ticket items.
Yeah.
Social Security, so-called gay marriage, flag burning, family values, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, so on and so forth. And there's only so much time in the year, in the months, and really when you focus all of your attention on these issues, and some of them important, some of them not so important, you don't really have much time to address less sexy issues like descriptive video services of the blind and visually impaired and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So when you have a standalone bill like S-900 that addresses this specific issue, it's not entirely likely that such a bill has actually come out for a vote.
Sure.
So, and I spoke with several individuals, a producer of the perspective section over at KQED who used to work in the Senate, that spoke with the staff of Senator Isaacson as well as Clinton. And many of these individuals have actually stated that, our best bet for getting any kind of legislation through is by tacking it on to another bill, that's actually of much more weight.
Yeah.
And S-2686 is our best hope, unfortunately, and it's not that great, but it's why ACB has had to go this route. We have not abandoned going the way of proposing standalone bills. Nevertheless, we've not had much progress with that either. So.
Well, I appreciate your updates, and my hope is that the more you call in an update, the more it'll nag people to just send an email, make a phone call. What the heck? And if you're not, why not? I mean, what have you got to lose?
It's so easy. I mean, if you want to... I mean, it is just simply that you don't know what to say in the email. We have talking points. So we have written out talking points, and you can basically just cut and paste, you know, if that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And just kind of put in your own, just personalize it a little bit. But you can certainly go to the Washington Connection over at acb.org. You can refer to the talking points. We have statistics there. Just tools that you can use to strengthen your argument for why this country should pass a bill that mandates descriptive video services, and certainly one that extends accessibility to voice over IP, the emerging technology that's certainly going to be taking over the telecommunications world. And so it's critical that we do this. We have all the tools. I implore all your listeners, do not hesitate.
Let me ask you one final question here. One of the listener who did respond to me, and I, if others have done it, then congratulations. I'm just not aware of it. But the listener who did respond to me had some difficulty with one of the senator's web interfaces. And so I tried to find sort of a pro forma boilerplate, john.smith@senate.gov, but I couldn't find. Is there any kind of email, like if you know your senator's first and last name, is there any standard email that you could send it to, or are they all different?
I unfortunately cannot be able to answer that question with much authority. However, it is something that I will be sure to look up.
Yeah.
And the next time, certainly, you know, that I do call in with any updates, we'll be sure to make that available to anybody who needs it.
Yeah, that would be great, because I think sometimes maybe people see the web interface, and, you know, if they're not into filling out forms online or whatever, that may be daunting. But if we knew that there was some kind of a standard email, you know, harry.smith@senate.gov or something like that, that the people could use for their senators. Maybe that would.
Certainly. And I will consult with the Washington office of ACB and
great.
See if we can come up with some standardized method of kind of disseminating that information to everyone. And so, but again, whatever concerns that anyone may have, please do not hesitate to let ACB know. We are certainly more than willing to accommodate any efforts to let senators know that this is also an important issue. Again, if a lot of senators are saying that, you know, they do not support entirely the omnibus bill, then at the very least, you know, see if they support S-900, which is the standalone bill. And if they do, then we need to press them on that. We need to press them and you know, have them at least bring it out for a vote. And so there's my update.
All right.
Again, things are sort of looking up, but, you know, we in effect are kind of approaching, time when this is likely to be, brought up or quashed. And, when we go up there and say, well, yes, we support this bill and we want you to put it up there for a vote. When the question is asked, well, you and what army supports it, then,
yeah.
You know, we don't want to look back and find out that the rest of the membership is not there.
Yeah.
So, please be there.
All right. Well, thank you, Abdul.
Thank you so much, Marlena.
I'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Likewise.
Okay. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. It's about 1:30 as I look over at my braille note telling me the time here. Faithful little thing is always telling me the time. It's always reminding me of things. It's worse than being henpecked. Oh, gosh. Ah, we've got a call. Let's bring them on in and see who it is. Hi there, you with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. This is Brandon from Texas.
Hi, Brandon. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. It's been a while since I've called into the show.
It sure has.
I just wanted to comment about the big story this week about Jonathan moving.
The big story. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I just had a chance to speak with him on MSN a few minutes ago. And he wanted me to pass along that he thanks everybody for the well wishes that they've been sending in. and that he is excited about this new job at Freedom Scientific.
Okay.
So.
Well, it would be nice if Jonathan were able to call in and pass on those well wishes.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, great. Anything else?
And I'm currently awaiting the arrival of my Braille Note Empower, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Ah, hopefully sooner, yes.
I'm finally getting one.
Well, I think you'll enjoy it.
I can't wait. I got to play around with it on a technology thing before I came back to school, and it is the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very, very cool. Yep. All right. Anything?
Yeah. That's all I had this evening. Just thought I'd say hello to everybody.
Well, I'm sure glad you didn't. Don't be such a stranger.
Oh, I most certainly won't.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Brandon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
866-666-7926. People getting ready to go back to school. Wow. Boy, the summer flew, man. I tell you, it just flew. Let me let you in on a couple of things that you might want to know about that are going on around here. Next week, we will have someone sitting in for us next week and the week after. Oh, you might be able to guess who that could be, but we'll hold that off for a little longer, and unless this is that person now. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
If it is, it'll be darn big
news
to me.
Oh, my goodness. It's Stan the Man from Oregon. No, it isn't Stan
no,
the
it
Man.
Isn't.
Although,
no, no.
No, yes, it is. It's Stan, and he doesn't know it.
No. No,
what's,
thank you.
What's going on with you, Uncle Stan?
I'll tell you what. This has been a very interesting week for me, and I'm so glad to finally get the email cleared out because we were getting some bombardment. I'm glad I wasn't gone this weekend because I would have had 5,000 or 6,000 emails, just what it seems like.
I know. My gosh. I don't think that World War III would generate this kind of email traffic.
No, I don't think so at all.
Someone changes a job and the world spins in the opposite direction.
Well, see, that's the big thing. And the person's changing, and I'm sorry, Jonathan, the person's changing jobs and he's going from A to B. Now, whatever I may think, and I'm just going to keep my opinions to myself, because I emailed him and I had a pleasant little conversation wishing him well. And I said, but from there, I think I will leave it because I may say something that I will regret. You know, because I have a mindset that has a little bit of problems with some things, the way certain things are handled. But the person makes their own decision. And they will have themselves to answer to, whether they have made a mistake or whatever the decision is, it is their decision. I mean, I would, to be real honest, I would not want to be in his position because for the simple fact that I think one of the things is there are two things. One, there's a tendency because of the notoriety that he has, he's been doing wonderful internet radio programs for a billion years or for years. And it's almost like the old days when radio was good, where you had an actual, you know, personality. So people knew it. Now, now it's all automation and people could go and no one would know the difference.
Right.
But I think that, so he, in a certain way, has been elevated to a deity or a god, which is tough for him, I think.
Yeah, because, I would think so.
You know, because no matter what happens, and people, that's really where I really want to come down on this, is I you know, he's going to have some issues because people are going to say, you know, the old line from To Tell the Truth, remember the old game shows, will the real so-and-so please stand up?
Exactly.
And that's going to be a very difficult hurdle for him to do. And I feel for all the folks at HumanWare because there are going to be people that are going to, rightly or wrongly, blame them.
Well, but
there doesn't need to be a blame period.
But I think what we can't lose sight of, and, you know, I mean, that when three people called me almost at the same moment to tell me the big news, and someone said, well, are you upset? I said, no, I'm not upset. Why should I be upset? You know, HumanWare, and I will use HumanWare in this example,
right,
because I have to for the example. HumanWare survived when I left. They survived when Larry Lewis left.
Right.
They survived when Jerry Koons left, when Mike May left. And they're going to survive when Jonathan Mosen left. And, you know, Keysoft and HumanWare has been around for years and years, and no company is one person.
Right.
And if they become one person, then that's a frightening thing.
And I think, but see, the thing is, I mean, I have no intention of trading in my Braille note.
Right.
I'm not voluntary part with it a day.
Yeah.
And I don't intend to be. But in fact, I had people call, well, one of my friends who I very well, you know, well, strong-armed to the, you know, over you, you know, it's over you for
you
word,
beat
but,
him over the head and said, buy
look,
a Braille
you
note.
You need to encourage your vote person to get you a Braille note.
Yeah.
And because the person, well, see, the thing is, the terrible thing on that part was because of my situation on the board of our Rogue Valley Transportation District, she sees me taking notes on the, you know, reading notes from various meetings that I've attended and using the Braille note. She went to the vote principal, well, Stan, he goes through and reads these notes flawlessly in the meetings, and he knows what's going on, and he reads these things, and I want to be able to do the work like he does. And I said, oh, thank you. Really put my name out?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
it worked, and I'm saying that this is what we have to realize, that there are companies, and each of those products has a definite user base. All products do not meet the needs of one user.
That's right.
Just
that's
like
right,
the screen readers issues. Different screen readers, different people. But we get in this war like IBM versus Apple.
Yeah, yeah.
And we sometimes get very vicious about the way we deal with things. And I really, you know, and I do. I wish him all the best wishes in the world. But he's not just, he's just one person.
Exactly.
And we need to get behind it, be happy with our Braille notes, and, you know, we don't need to throw eggs at him. No, Jonathan, we're not going to throw eggs at you when we go to the convention.
Exactly. And, you know, I really did think carefully before bringing this up, because I have no desire to bash Jonathan.
No.
You know, he's...
What does that accomplish?
Exactly. He's made a decision to do something that works for him. I can't say that I understand it, but guess what? It's none of my business.
Exactly. If I could, you know, if I were to take issue with everything that I don't understand, this would be a very
yeah. And Freedom Scientific, I mean, they make some good things. There are many happy PacMate users,
yes,
and that's good.
And good on them. Oh.
Yeah, and good on them. That's right, to coin a phrase.
Yes.
So I just really decided to bring this up in the spirit of, you know, our community is small, and when something like this happens, it is pretty surprising, because I think we do really rely on the people who have become the spokespeople in our community to kind of give us some good ideas and good thoughts and about equipment, about, you know, things to try. And so when one person makes a 180, it is hard. You're like, whoa.
But see, and I think the thing is with him, it's also the extra dimension. And with you, but you, oh, I'm going to say this, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way. You're not as out there,
right,
as he is in terms of all the different radio,
right,
internet radio things,
right,
that he has done.
Right.
Although we miss you. I miss you on the Shaw World thing, but that's another story.
Nope.
but radio used to be a companion.
Right.
And internet radio is a companion because it was the way he did his program was like radio the way it used to be.
Exactly.
And because of that, he has become a friend to people. And like most radio people, you see the things you want to see in the friendship part, but you don't see the warts. If you work in radio, you know people. I've worked with radio in radio, and I know that I've known people that were alcoholics on the radio that kept a pretty good shield of it while they were on the air, but when they were off the air, it was, you know, Katie by the door.
Yeah.
And so there are all sorts of issues that you don't know what a person
is. That's right.
And I'm not, please, I'm not bashing, I'm not doing anything, but I'm just saying you don't know. We don't know
anything. That's right. That's right. And nor, you know, nor should we know. And,
right.
And maybe if we all learn collectively something from our reaction to this kind of thing, maybe what we need to learn is that, number one, no one person is a god. Number two, you know, form your own opinion.
But look at our society's preoccupation with things like Tom Cruise.
Oh, gosh.
And,
yes.
You know, insert name of celebrity.
Oh, I know.
And we go through this, and that's the top story from ABC News.
That's right.
Or Michael Jackson and his escapade. We need to turn it off sometimes.
Yep.
Any rate, I couldn't resist having to speak my mind on this, and you have a wonderful rest of the holiday weekend.
Well, you too, Stan the Man from Oregon, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, indeed.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We've got about 15 more minutes to go of this, what do we call it tonight? I don't know. We've had all kinds of topics tonight. Very interesting. And I'd love to hear from you. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what's going to go on here, because there's going to be some changes made. Temporary, but nonetheless, a few changes are going to be made. And next week and the following week, this show will be done, and he will take calls and maybe even have guests, but the show will be done by Jeff Bishop. And then my phone patch is not patched up yet, so caller, you just be quiet. It's actually speak of the devil himself, so I could talk to him that way. And then on the 24th of September, the 25th in UTC time, we're going to do what I hope will be a very special show, not that all of these programs aren't special to me, but this one will have huge significance to me. And it's a program about retiring your guide dog and talking about your guide dog. Maybe you're thinking about getting a guide dog. Maybe you want to know something about guide dogs. Why are we doing that? Because the following Saturday, September the 30th, I will be gone for 3 weeks to train with a new guide at Guide Dogs for the Blind in Boring, Oregon. And so I'll bring up the devil himself now. Jeff Bishop will also be sitting in on my show for the 4 weeks, since I'll give myself a week after I get home. So Jeff will be here for all of October and 2 weeks in September. Right, Jeff?
Indeed.
Ah, there you are. How are you?
Very, very tired, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's been an interesting weekend.
Yeah, so what's going on with you?
Oh, not much. I thought I'd add a little bit to the Mosen story.
Oh, sure, go for it.
Well, I agree with everything that has been said, but I think the thing that makes this really difficult is that we're dealing with an industry that, by its nature, is extremely small, and people are extremely passionate about their technology. And so I think that's why sometimes we're seeing the things that we're seeing on lists, people making some pretty reactive statements because they're so, it's so near and dear to them.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, this happens all the time in corporate America.
Yep.
This isn't anything different than, you know, anybody else. I mean, if Bill Gates went to work for Apple, it'd be, you know, that, I mean, that wouldn't be, honestly, that wouldn't be too shocking to me.
I don't think it would set the emails flying as much as Mosen going to work
exactly.
for freedom.
But it's because people are so passionate about their technology and about their opinions on each company. You know, there's only two or three of them that are, you know, the key players.
Yeah.
And that's why it's, you know, that's why it's so difficult. But I wish Jonathan well. He'll definitely do well in that position, I think. He brings a wealth of knowledge from the industry with him, and hopefully he'll be able to put that to good use and further Freedom Scientific's products. So should prove to be very, very interesting, although it will be much different seeing him at the conventions and doing presentations for Freedom, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I have a hard time with, quite frankly. You know, because Jonathan hasn't been necessarily secretive about his feelings about some other companies, so we'll see. You know, it's certainly made for an interesting week around here.
Yeah, and it will be a very interesting CSUN.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Hey, what the heck? You know, that's, everyone needs a little excitement in their
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you got coming up on your show? Anything specific?
Well, next week we don't have everything concrete yet, but we're hoping to do a 9/11 show, because actually that will be 9/11 UTC time.
Right.
And then we'll be taking calls in the second hour. And on main menu next week, we're continuing our Macintosh series. We're almost wrapping that up, but John Gunn has done a fabulous job taking users through all of the features of the Mac and really giving people a very in-depth experience with VoiceOver. It's been in the news quite a bit. So,
what do you think about VoiceOver?
Well, I think it's fantastic what Apple has done so far to be able to give, you know, immediate access to the operating system, and for that, they need to be really applauded. But really, they have the same problem that Microsoft has, and that is that getting their people to even make their own internal applications accessible. And when you ask Apple about it, they're very, very noncommittal to providing a response as to when those will be accessible. And that's where I sort of have difficulty with it. But, I mean, really, for them to be able to make the operating system, you know, that accessible just by hitting a key, including even, you know, complete setup and everything, well, that's to be commended for sure. And now they're adding Braille support. And, just very, very, you know, very, very interesting. I was concerned initially that, you know, this was going to be a narrator type thing.
Yeah, I think we all were.
You know, okay, so they put this Band-Aid on the operating system and now they're not going to touch it. But that doesn't appear to be the case. But I asked Apple at CSUN, you know, what are they going to do about trying to get mainstream applications like Microsoft Office, which is, you know, run on the Mac in, you know, corporate environments, you know, to try to get Microsoft to make that accessible. And, you know, they were like, well, you know, we don't really have any comment, and, you know, not real sure, and we're working on it, and, you know, we're trying to evangelize the developer community, and, you know, basically the same thing that Microsoft says.
Yeah, yeah. And what impetus does Microsoft have to help Apple make something accessible?
Well, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, right,
well,
sure.
It's a difficult thing. But, I mean, for those that use it and for those that that like it and it works for them, hey, you know, that's awesome. And I applaud that. Do I think Apple do better? Absolutely, I think. But it's a tough hill. I mean, how can they ask other developers to make their applications accessible when they're not doing it to their own?
Yeah.
They're very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to give a public, and I know Gary the Board Guy's listening.
Uh-oh.
I want to give a very sincere thank you to Gary the Board Guy, who has spent literally probably 20 to 30 hours of me in the last few days on getting a lot of technical work done here. And for that, I'm very, very happy, and he should be definitely highly commended for all of his patience and willingness to help. It's very, very sincerely appreciated. It's been fun.
Well, he's been, I think he has enjoyed it just as much as you have, and been as frustrated as you have. And, you know, Gary really likes to support ACB Radio. He really does. He doesn't come on very often because he feels that, speaking of, whoa, turn your computer down.
Wow. Sorry about that.
just a second.
No, it's definitely on my side of the world. Gary the Board Guy is actually coming on the program.
Oh, boy.
Gary.
Hello there. I have this little bitty cheap handset on the fax machine, which is the line that we use. Sorry about that.
It works great.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds very good, actually.
Well, actually, this is the first time Gary the Board Guy's ever been on my show.
Well, I'm only about 30 seconds out of sync with you guys, so, you know. But that's been kind of a fun weekend, hasn't it?
Indeed. And it really came together very nicely today. We pretty much got everything going here. It's definitely been a learning experience for me. And yet to be more learning, but overall it's been quite an experience. And we'll talk more about that next week during the second hour of the.
It was a lot of fun though, and later on when other people and this might make a topic also for one of your shows, Jeff, is. You know, how do you put one of these things together, and how do you get it going? And it would be, you know, more than one show's worth, actually, to make this thing happen, so that you can put a system together with a board and a telephone hybrid and all that sort of stuff. It's not an inconsequential amount of money, but it's not something that's impossible either.
Yeah, you can do it for a little less than $600, actually.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. And if you get smart about it, if you get locally and not have to pay shipping, you could even cut some of that even.
That's right.
All right, you guys. Well, you've talked to each other enough this week, so we're going to hang up and see if we can get one more caller in before we go.
Okay, well, bye-bye.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. By 866-666-7926. You get those two talking and you could just, Katie, bar the door, because they really enjoy each other. They enjoyed working together. And it was really nice to see it evolving. And you'll see it while I'm away next week and the week after. Gary the Board Guy and I will be on a cruise. Have we ever done that before? I think so, once or twice. We'll be on a cruise. We're going up to Alaska. We're going to have Madeline's final cruise with her. Let's bring this caller in. Hi there. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Marlena, this is Lisa Hollinson in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I've been very busy. We've been busy doing viral production of magazines. And all the books for the Library of Congress, I've been very busy proofreading those.
Great.
And of course, tomorrow is the holiday, so we're kind of enjoying the day off. Wow. However, I've been working overtime for the last couple of Saturdays, once a month, at least twice a month. Been working overtime.
Wow, lots of braille, huh?
Meet the demands out there.
Wow, lots of Braille.
Yeah, lots of Braille. We still keep going. And I think there's been very few days that I don't even hear those Braille printers or those plate embossing going all day long. So,
That's
great.
A
very time-consuming process.
That's great. How many people do they employ to proofread?
I want to say they have at least 15 people that are involved in any kind of major Braille production, but I don't really have the exact count on the number of proofreaders. But we have copy holders, those that are cited, that come and help us do proofreading. And we have a couple of them that are on staff, and then we have a couple others that are coming in as volunteers to help us out. And so they spend a few hours with us. And I work with about, I guess, four or five different copy holders throughout the week. Sometimes it may be one copy holder twice a week. It just depends on what we have available.
Well, I wish you luck with your new job. And
thank you.
And hopefully it's all going to continue to go well for you.
Yeah, and coming up, not this coming week, but the following week, I'll be there for two full months already.
Wow.
And got one more month to go on the probationary period. So I'm hoping things will come out in the end.
Well, congratulations.
And thank you.
Let us know how it's going.
Certainly, I will, and I'll keep everybody posted.
All righty.
Thank you.
Take care, Lisa. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We're just about out of time. We have to allow for the internet to take its time to bring us up to time, as they say. Now, if you could figure out all that time. It has been great to be here tonight. And, I think if nothing else from this week and the events of this week, let's everybody just know that, the world doesn't stop when one of us does something or doesn't do something. And, life will go on. We'll all be friends. We'll all get on. Everything will work. And so I wish Jonathan the best of luck, and I hope that you do too. So I will be back on the 24th in North America and the 25th in UTC. And we'll talk about guide dogs. Until then, you guys take care and stay safe. And thanks so much for listening. I'm Marlena, and this is the music of Lee Rettenhauer, a little dolphin dreamin', as we go out for this week. It's been a joy to be with you, and I hope you'll come back next week right here on ACB Radio Mainstream. Let me thank the team that helps make all of this happen. That's Chrissy Cochran in the UK, Jeff Shang in Australia, and Gary the Board Guy in the other room. We'll be back again, same time, same place, next week here on ACB Radio Mainstream. But if you'd like to send me an email in the meantime, you can address it to Marlena.